I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to bless the time tonight. Just have a short message just to get us going and to see what's ahead of us this week. So shortly after that, then we'll have some dessert. All right? So, amen. So I'm just going to pray. So heads bowed and eyes closed. Okay, I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to come to camp, Lord. Thank you for safety and travel, Lord, from all the different places around the country, Lord. Bring us down here. And thanks for just the awesome spirit, Lord. And just a great time we're having for the sports, Lord. And just for everyone's hearts, Lord. For I just pray tonight, Lord, that you bless the preaching of your word, Lord. And just bless some of the truths, Lord, to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we would just open our hearts, Lord, and just, Lord, I pray that we'd be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray that tonight, Lord, we would be soft towards what you have to say. And Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, and change us, Lord. And just show us, Lord, where we need to be different. And show us, Lord, what's right and what's not, Lord, according to your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just burden us and just give us just that burden in our heart, Lord, to want to change, Lord, and to want to yield to what your word is saying, Lord. So I just pray tonight that you'd help us. I pray that you'd bless us, Lord, and I pray that you'd just give liberty tonight, Lord. And I pray for all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. So this is our theme verse for 2009. We're studying David. Amen. Okay? And this is from Acts 13, if any of you in your Bible in the New Testament, after the Gospels, book of Acts 13, chapter 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." All right. So if I hadn't said it already, welcome to camp. Amen. And as you probably haven't noticed already, we're studying David. All right. The making of a king is our subtitle. The making of a king. So the time of David is set about 1000 BC. Does anyone know how long ago that was? A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, right? All right. 1000 BC, that's 3000 years ago, all right? So just because it's a long time ago doesn't mean that it's useless to us today, okay? 3000 years ago. And the background is, I just want to get a background of coming up to the point of David. All of you heard of Moses, right? Moses was God's chosen servant to lead his chosen people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. And he used Moses. They went through the wilderness. And God worked some wonderful miracles. One, to get them out of Egypt. There was 10 plagues. And one being all the firstborn of every person, or every family. And also even the firstborn of every animal. On one night, God said that he would pass over. And that anyone where he didn't see the blood of the lamb, that he would take that firstborn son. Okay? And that was one of those things. And then when they came out and they went across the wilderness, and Pharaoh decided to re-harden his heart, and he went out chasing after them, and Moses was in it quite a strait. They didn't know where to go, and God worked a miracle, and he divided the Red Sea in two, and they walked on dry ground across. And when the Egyptians came running in on their chariots and things, God brought the water back down on top of them, and they were drowned. Okay, so this is Moses, who brought God's people out of slavery. And then Moses, then when he died, who's the next person, do you know?
Joshua.
Joshua, right, Joshua. When Moses died, Joshua took up the impossible task, we studied in a men's retreat actually this year, of bringing Israel and into the promised land that God had promised them when he spoke to them first in Egypt. And he brought, he used Joshua to conquer the land of Canaan and the promised land, where they would settle as their new homeland and establish a new nation. So that was Moses through Joshua. Did anyone know what's next?
Judges.
Anyone accept the counsel? All right, good. The book of Judges is right after Joshua. And then who knows what happens then? Anyone tell me a famous judge from that time? Good, good, excellent, okay. So there was a time then, there was not a man to take over from Joshua, I guess. And when Joshua died, there entered a period of judges where God's spirit would be upon one person and they would judge righteously in the land of Israel. And when anyone had issues, they would come to this judge and they would... Samson is another one of those judges. And you know him with his awesome strength and the problems he had with Delilah and all that kind of thing. So from Moses to Joshua to judges. And then Samuel was the last judge. And this is where we get the name of the book now that we're going to be in a lot. This week, it's the book of Samuel. And Samuel was the last judge. And basically, after him, his sons were wicked. And turn to 1 Samuel 8, if you can. 1 Samuel 8. Joshua judges Ruth. 1 Samuel chapter 8. First Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment." They weren't the nicest guys to hang around with. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah." And verse 5 says, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." So basically, the people decided that they were that they didn't want God's designed way of judging their nation and what he had put down. He was actually their king, but they decided they looked around them and saw the nations around them had a king and someone that they could look to and trust in, whereas the people of Israel were supposed to be trusting in the God of Israel. But they wanted a king, a physical king right there that they could look to and seek for leadership. And if you see in verse 6, it says, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So the people of Israel, essentially, they sinned in wanting to have a human king to rule over them instead of the God of Israel. So basically, God decided he'd let them have what they wanted. That's the worst thing that could happen to any of us in our lives, if God let us have what we wanted in our lives because of our hearts, and we're going to learn that, okay? So they chose Saul. Saul was this awesome guy. Turn to chapter 9, you're just down here, and it says, chapter 9, verse 2, it said, "And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he, for his shoulders and upward he was high than any of the people." So on the outside, Saul was this awesome, great guy. He was goodly. Everyone probably in the army knew him. And this guy was, all right. Everybody liked him. He was popular. And God chose this man as a new king, as a judgment upon the people. So his outward appearance, he looked good on the outside. So is there anything wrong with looking good on the outside? Is there? Some of you don't. There's nothing wrong with looking good on the outside, right? But when we put that as what's most important, we need to have a bit of self-respect, right? Who didn't brush their teeth this morning? Or have a shower? All right? But even though Saul seemed like a great guy, on the inside, not on the outside, on the inside he was stubborn, he was cowardly, he was proud, and he didn't care for anyone but himself. Okay? But all the other people, they chose him, "Oh, this looks like a great guy. He seems to us to be the man for the job." Okay? So God ended up, if we fast forward a bit, God ended up rejecting him over what he found in his heart. He rejected him as the king of Israel, and we saw in that verse, he removed him and replaced him with a real man, David, okay? A real man. Young David, as it were, actually. So God gracefully uses the decision and choice and raises up a worthy king, one that wasn't outward in all of his qualities like you would have on a CV. You know, when you're applying for a job and you guys getting a summer job for the summer, and you put on your CV and you're all these wonderful things. You're a rubbish bin technician and you're all these super things, a cleaning super doctor specialist and all that kind of stuff. And you dress up the CV so this person goes, wow, this person is qualified. They know what they're doing. I better hire them for lots of money. All right? But basically, where I'm losing my space, God chose a person that wasn't all outwardly like we would for a CV for a job, but he chose a man with a heart of integrity. And a man that would be able to stand up to the challenges that a king would face during his rule. So who is this David? We look here, God said about him, in his own words, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And that is an amazing testimony for God to have. What would he say about you? If you were to stand before God tonight, what would he say? Would he say, Bozzy, you're a man after mine own heart? Or would he say something different? So we know that David is one of the most well-known men in the Bible. You know, even if you haven't read the Bible, you've probably heard of a man named Jesus. Okay? If you haven't read the Bible, you've probably heard of a man named David. Why is that? Why is that? And you probably heard, what's David most popular for? David and Goliath. Slaying the giant, like David and the stone slingers. Amen. That is a good name. I like the names this year. They're awesome. Alright. So in his life, when we look at David as a whole, he is one of the most prestigious places in history. He's one of the greatest kings in Israel, beside Jesus, who will come back and reign as king, and Lord of lords and King of kings. He's got a name of being the greatest king in Israel, and he established Israel as a powerful nation and set up Jerusalem as the capital, and he even made plans to build a temple, and he set down temple worship and temple music and things. He did many things. He's a man of many talents. We all know at the beginning he was a caring shepherd. He was in, like in Psalm 23, an eloquent poet. A lot of the book of Psalms was written by him. And he was also a prophet. He prophesied many things about Jesus coming. Check out Psalm 69 and things. He was a courageous warrior, as we know, and he actually ended up being an awesome general, and he was very good in his strategy in war. And he was also a faithful servant, and we learn about that this week, especially on Thursday, when he was just as humble as ever and as faithful and as honorable towards his authorities, no matter what, whether they were good or bad. And he was also a great leader, obviously. He reigned as king for 40 years, seven over Judah, and then over the whole kingdom. So that's why this week we want to focus on his early life, his service under Saul and his life as a fugitive and stuff like that, up to the point when he becomes king. Because what exactly is so special about David in God's eyes? Why would God say, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart? Why would God say such a wonderful testimony? Why would he have that? This is basically why we're going to study David this week. On all the preaching I've been hearing from the preachers, their ideas. I was talking to Brother Keith, to Brother Dan, and even discussing some of the teen sessions. There are going to be special teen sessions this week. And we even have a special preacher coming out from Dublin, Leighton Kelly. And it's just exciting, all the study that's gone into it and what we're going to learn this week. Each day there will be a particular characteristic. Tomorrow we're going to learn basically about being right with God. Okay, that's where it all starts. With being right with God, the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we're going to look at purity. And the theme for that day is the heart of a king is forgiven. And that's where he starts. On Wednesday, we're going to look at strength on the inside. Some people call that virtue. And that's why David, as a yea tall, high, young man, could face Goliath, who was way up there. It wasn't his muscles and his skill in strength or anything like that. It was his trust in God, and that's how we ought to fight our battles. Okay, so for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that's strength on the inside of Wednesday. On Thursday, about obeying our authorities. I kind of said that already. Saul was out to get this guy. He was being nice and he was playing hard for him, refreshing his soul. And then another minute he was ducking javelins being chucked at him by Saul. And yet he's still honored. And do we honor our parents even when they make mistakes? Do we honor our friends? Are we willing to be subject to authority and to let someone else make a mistake even if we think we know the right answer? So we've got to obey our authorities because God has given them an umbrella of protection, as we learn on Thursday, to help us and to grow us. On Friday then we look at being a good influence on others. David had a great testimony and he was a great leader and he became captain just automatically just because of who he was over many mighty men. And we learn about that on Friday. And then on Saturday we're wrapping it up with just how faithful he was. In 1 Kings I believe it says, he turned not aside from anything that the Lord commanded him to do. Not in that words, but except for in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. But so there's one key to all of this, okay? The truth is that God can use any one of us. God can use a donkey. If any of you know the story of Balaam, all right? He can use any one of us, but God is looking for someone who's willing. And David was that man. He was willing. David was chosen because he had a heart for God, and that's the theme for tonight. David had a heart for God. If you turn to Psalm, middle of your Bible, Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As the hart, like a deer, panted after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." This is David's anthem, as it were. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Can anyone say that about that? Is that their desire to know God? Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. And also he wanted to please God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. Okay, so he was addicted to God, basically. He was a fanatic. And he put God all over anything else in his life. And that's the first commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods before thee. God was first in his life. And that's what made David special. And if we could have that heart for God, then this week we would be able to start being used of God, being molded and shaped into a king, as it were, and a queen, and someone who is honorable and pleasing before God, an honorable vessel we're going to look at this week as well. But what is it about our heart? How can we get this heart for God? Turn to Proverbs, it's just the next book. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 23, sorry. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I often say to my teenagers, I ask Johan, let's say, what would it take to make you hate rowing? Johan loves rowing. Every time I ask him, he's been rowing, and he's going rowing. Bozzy as well. Bozzy in his heart, he loves rugby. He's on a Munster team, and he loves it. He goes training Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I don't know what I could do to get Bozzy to stop playing rugby and driving motorcycles and, and all that kind of stuff. What is it that you love, that you believe that you'd never let go of, that this is part of even who you are, okay? The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. When you might get a bit over-attached to a guy or a girl, that creates issues for you, doesn't it? And it creates a problem in your heart. But if that pull wasn't there, that means that you wouldn't be interested in it. You know, Pastor would say, or Pastor Ledbetter would say, you know, you can't tempt me with a cigarette because I have no desire to want to. But if I was hooked on cigarettes and you started dangling this thing before me, I'd be like, oh, you know, because in my heart I love that thing, okay? And God can change that. And this is saying here, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it, you got to get it, you run yourself into problems. It says later on in Proverbs 28 that he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. Okay? So, one preacher said, he said, we have locks on our doors, passwords on our computers, and other things like that, but our hearts are vulnerable. And what are we doing to protect our hearts from what's going to get us into trouble? So basically, there's two things you need to know about the heart. If you turn to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Perfect. Remember, I was talking about Saul and how the outward appearance was more important to him. Jesus actually upbraided this religious group called the Pharisees and the scribes, because he said that they were righteous on the outside. They looked like they were doing all the right things, but on the inside, they were whited sepulchres, which was just a tomb full of dead men's bones. All right, and even when he was teaching this, his disciples didn't understand him, and they asked him about it in verse 15, they said, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? So before, he said, just because he didn't eat with, or that he ate with unwashing hands, which was a breaking of a tradition that the Jews had, and they believed that that was akin to committing murder, just because he didn't do that, he said, nothing that goes in is going to defile me on the inside. Not physically on the inside, but in my spirit and in my soul. But he said, that which cometh out, I'll show you here. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man, in verse 18 and 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, this is your heart, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So when we look at the law of God, and you try your hearts by the law of God, you'll see that you've done these things. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. If I ask myself, have I ever lied? I know I have. I've lied plenty of times. I used to lie to my sister saying I didn't take her packet of crisps when I was young. I've done a lot of lying, and I'm not proud of that. But even other things here, adulteries. Guys, a man said, or Jesus said that if a man looking on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. Evil thoughts, just thinking bad about someone, and that just comes out of our heart, and that we'd hate someone. That the Bible says that's akin to murder. And if you've broken any of those commandments, you're a sinner in God's eyes. And the Bible says these come out of our heart. These are the things in verse 20 which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So in our heart we're wicked from the inside out. Okay, and that's naturally we don't have a heart for God like we want to have, like David had. And the Bible says there's none that seek it after God. So we're not like David in Psalm 42, where as the heart panted after water brooks, so my soul thirsted after thee. So we've got a sinner's heart. And you know, David did have a wicked and deceitful heart, but God let him change it. Ezekiel 18 says, I'll just turn to Ezekiel 18 because I don't think I can quote that off. Ezekiel 18:31. If any of you else want to turn there. Ezekiel 18:31 says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? So God is saying there that we can, if we would just repent of the wickedness in our heart and turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ, that God can give us a new heart. We're not making a new heart in ourselves. God is doing all the work. So we find out from this verse as well in Acts 13 that God is looking. He's searching our hearts. Okay? So God is searching our hearts. Does anyone know Psalm 139, 23 and 24? Who can quote that for me? Can you say? Search me? everlasting. Amen. All right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, I think it says. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. In 2 Chronicles 16 also it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth. I'm just taking a blank here. 2 Chronicles 16:9. God is looking for someone to show himself mighty in. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. So we have a sinner's heart, but God searches our heart, and he's looking for someone tonight here that he can do a work with. Are you going to let him this week do a work in your heart? The Bible says that he can change your heart. It says that cleanse. In James 4, I'm losing all my verses here. James 4 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. If you do that this week, God will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we have a sinner's heart, but God is searching and looking for someone tonight that he can do a work in, and God can change our hearts. Does anyone know how he can change our hearts? It's pretty simple, isn't it? That's what the gospel is. The gospel of Jesus Christ. If the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And if any of you don't know if you're saved tonight, if you think that you've done something, if you've done so much wrong that God could never forgive you, if you think that all roads lead to heaven, the Bible says that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in my life, God changed me from that the Bible calls it the old man. And he changed me. I was basically a totally different person. I used to do plenty of different things, and I grew and I lived life according to what the devil would have me live. And God changed my life. He turned my life. He gave me a new heart. And he gave me new desires. And he can change you this week. If I thought I'd be here talking to teenagers about 5 years ago, if you told me that I'd be doing this, I would have laughed you to scorn, as the Bible said. if you're not saved tonight, God can change your heart. He can make you a new person. He can cleanse you. The Bible says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. So none of our hearts are clean, and none of us can clean up our own hearts by doing anything. We have to just let God do all the work. Why would Jesus have to come and die otherwise? Okay? So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Alright, so you need to decide tonight that this week you're going to listen intently during the morning devotions and during the preaching. There's going to be some awesome preaching this week. And you need to make a decision that you're going to let God do a work in your heart and your life. And if any of you don't know 100% that tonight, if you die, that you'd go to heaven, you can know for sure tonight. Take Brother Finley aside, Brother Dan, Brother Keith, Brother David, Brother Dan, Nico, anyone, and the ladies as well, Ruth and Lydia and Gina, just ask them, and they'll open up a Bible to you and show you how you can know for sure that you can go to heaven when you die, and that you have a clean heart before God, and that he's pleasing, and that you're pleasing in his sight. So I just pray that this week God will make a difference in your life. So I'm just going to pray and thank the Lord. We'll probably sing a song, possibly. and we're going to get some dessert. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord. It's the power unto salvation. I thank you, Father, that you gave us your word, Lord, so that we would know what's right and what's wrong. And, Lord, that we would know that someone died for us, Lord. The Bible says, for yet, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love towards us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And just thank you, Lord, that the word also says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, for saving me. I'm thankful, Lord, for saving my whole family, Lord, and blessing us. I thank you that we're still saved and we can't lose our salvation, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you have a unique will for each of our lives, Lord, and that you want to do a work in us, Lord, and you want to just give us a peace that passes all understanding, Lord. And you just want to use us, Lord, for your glory, Lord. And you just want to love us and bless us, Lord. And your Bible says, your word says, to daily load us with benefits, Lord. So I'm just thankful you're so good. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you can save to the uttermost, Lord. And I pray that you do a work in the teenagers' lives this week.
And I pray that we would go home different, Lord. Changed. Changed for the better, Lord. And heaven bound. And I just thank you, Lord. I pray you just give us blessed time for the rest of the evening, Lord. And just give us some good sleep for all the activities that are happening tomorrow. And I pray for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.